This is the third part in our podcast, and this part will be covering the time heist. So basically, all the time travel bits. Enjoy. Who wants to go first? Has anybody got strong feelings on this section? They want to go first? Or just call out names?
Okay, let me go first.
All right, go on, Kingsley.
It was cool, you know, seeing Loki, seeing the same after the Avengers, two Caps fighting, the whole...
Dark World! The Dark World! The greatest film ever! Yes.
Winter Soldier part, like, it all felt cool, but I felt it was a bit, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I think the whole part was a bit too long then.
Okay.
And when it was dark, and like, yeah, I mean, it was cool enough, but it was a bit too long.
I'm going to say this now, it's not my turn, but yes, this is the one bit I felt was slightly bloated. I did feel that. But yeah, that's the, so got anything else, Kingsley?
That's about it.
Okay. Anybody else want to go next? Or should I go?
I loved... There's two things about the time heist I loved. The first thing I loved about time heist was they're bringing back... Basically, you know, on the one hand, it was showing us the sub-levels of the Ancient One's power and that whole interaction with Banner. And I mean, she just basically kicks... This shows you that Hulk can't take her on, man. She just straight up... If you ever want to know what Doctor Strange would do to Hulk, if Hulk ever goes up against him, that tells you it right there. Just straight
he
up punched
took
his
Hulk
soul
out like a scrub.
Just took him out.
Like a scrub.
It was the funniest thing ever. Just punched him out. I'm like, ooh. Because the guy walks up to her all cocky like, yeah, I'm going to take it. I'm not asking. I'm not asking. I'm going to just take it. Boom. Like, okay. Wait, whoa. And then he's begging her, please give it back. Please. You know what I mean, that was beautiful. But I also liked something you said in another chat somewhere where basically the whole... The sublayer to that, the context of I can't give this to you, and Strange gave it to us anyway. He gave it away. Then I'm the one making the mistake. If he did it, I'm making the mistake because he's better than me. Like it just used that to reinforce how good Strange is and how much he trusts, even though she hasn't even trained him yet.
Yeah,
but you can see how much he trusts that this guy will become the best of them. And she gave up the stone. I'm like, wow. So think about it. If he had not done that, she would never have done that. And I, all this time, I'm thinking he did it just to save Tony. No, he did it because, you know, there's other things that's at play there, you know. So I like that. The other thing I like about the time heist was, you know, it's just cool to see those same scenes you've seen before from other perspectives. You know, they've met in Loki, and you see all that stuff from behind, how they're, okay, they're interacting, having drinks. And I saw a meme somewhere that somebody put, it said, you know, when you're playing a video game, after you've learned how to beat the game, you know, you see Tony, Steve goes into the elevator and they just subvert that whole scene with Hydra. He just turns and says, "Hail Hydra," and takes the thing and walks out without beating anybody. I was already gearing up for the mother of all beatdowns part two in the elevator, and they just changed it. I was like, okay, they got me. You got me. Nice one, you know. But I will agree that the 1970s jump, for some people, I can see why people might feel a bit bloated, but again, it's part of the whole payoff. If you're going to end these people's stories, let's remind you why it's important and why, how human they are. How Cap feels he's missed out on something. How Tony feels he's finally resolved something. He's had that moment of peace with his dad, you know, and hell. Also, show us a little bit about, I mean, and let's be honest, no plan survives contact with the enemy. And that's the idea. Like, we did this, it didn't work. We messed up, but we found a way around it. And then let's use that to also tell the story of how human these guys are and humanize them until when it finally ends.
Yeah, okay. For me, time wasting, time good at least. I'm not the new one here. So, love, that Tony one, like I said, I knew where this thing is going. You didn't need to do it. Fine, they did it, and then you can say, well, this is why, and it shows, like Jay just said. But to be honest, with the type of film everybody came to watch and what everybody wanted to really come and see, you wouldn't have missed it if it wasn't there. So I'm like, ugh. And then another part I didn't get, one of my alarm bells. What was her name? Nebula. Gamora's sister. Nebula, yes. Nebula, yeah. So they catch the original one. The fake one gives Thanos the pin particle, which they only had one.
Yeah.
And somehow she was able to make it back.
Yep.
They reverse engineered it. Yeah. I already said that.
Yeah.
They made more.
They reverse engineered it.
They had all the time.
They could have taken 5 years to reverse engineer. Yeah. When they jump back, it's still going to go back into that time. They literally could have taken 2 years, built it, worked it, and then jump, boom, and they go back to that exact same spot.
So
the time they jump back to is not an issue.
Yeah.
They just didn't show it. And Shay, you say you don't like them showing everything. You can figure it out.
You missed the point now.
I get your point. I'm just teasing.
I get. There are too many things with it. If we can continue grabbing an endless argument on, like I said, once you do a time travel, it's never perfect. And that. So,
at the end of the day, any movie, you have to decide what do we show, what do we let people leave to your imagination. Clearly, they let that to your imagination that somehow they worked out a way to reverse.
Of course, now you can see that for him now.
Yeah.
They worked out.
And but I will agree that some things they left.
Okay. Yeah, continue.
No, go ahead. I'm good.
No, for me, it's the time heist. Again, Widow and Hawkeye. To me, they were just dancing around. At some point, I'm like, okay.
You say he has to be emotional. You guys.
They are done fighting. No. Let me tell you what happened with that Hawkeye fight. You know, there's a high point you get to where, that's why she has to die. Then that's why she's going to die. I'm like, emotional. Don't argue.
I think Shay's problem is Shay's outside the story. He's not inside the story. Because if you're inside the story, hold on. If you're inside the story in that moment, you realize these two people are here. They determine both of them are fractured people. She's in pain because of all that's happened. He's in pain because of what he's lost personally.
Yeah, but
and
Jay,
they get to
the
that
question
point.
Is, the question for me is, why is Shay not in the moment? Because I'll be frank with you, neither was I.
Yeah, but you're both not in the moment for two different reasons. That's just the way Shay is. Apparently. That's just the way he is.
The reason why I keep saying Flash and that is because out of everybody here, I know Dark Boy is still the only one that watches those shows. And when you do it to a certain point, when the talking starts, you just know. So that whole thing they were doing there, I'm like...
But they were not talking, they were fighting.
My eyes glazed over. I remember thinking, oh God, come on, get on.
Where
with
did
it.
Your eyes glaze over? At what point did your eyes glaze over?
The talking, before they started fighting. Like when they were saying.
What?
When they got to. Vormir? Is it Vormir they call it?
Vormir. Yeah, I know. What was it they said that took you out of it?
Yeah, I'm going to explain it to you. So they got to Vormir, and then Red Skull gave them the instructions, basically, that one of you got to die. And then they started talking to each other, trying to convince each other, I'm going to die for these reasons. No, you should die for these reasons. And they were both like, you're talking about that whole bit. I was not in it. I was rolling my eyes. Come on, get on with it.
I am so different from both of you. When I saw that scene, the only thing I didn't like about it, I cried like 7 times in that film. So that's okay. I'm never ashamed of that. Many times.
Wait, back up. You can't just drop that like that. Did you just
say
7 times?
I can't. My guy, I cried a lot. I did. I cried a lot of times.
I didn't cry once. I was maybe moved. I think I was moved half movement maybe once in the whole film. All right, carry on.
Yeah, I was going to say.
7 times.
Like, yeah, 7, 8 times.
Go on.
There was, starting with the one thing I didn't like about that scene was that it made more sense for Hawkeye to have been the one sent to New York to go get the stone from the Ancient One and Hulk to have been sent with
Totally agree with that. I actually agree with that.
That's the one thing I didn't like about that. I'm like, this makes no sense. This pairing makes no sense.
Jay. There is no way Widow dies, if Banner is there, because he would just jump. She can't overpower him. There won't be a fight.
No, but no, but, so, but no.
So how? How?
You know why you're wrong there?
How?
Hulk, that can't. That thing can't kill Hulk anyway. So it would be almost by force. It would have to Widow. What can kill Hulk? That fall.
True. Yeah.
So by
true,
so,
I agree.
So if Hulk and Widow went, almost by default, it would have to be Widow. I think it's a better.
In fact, I can actually craft a better story. I can craft a story where basically Hulk decides that he's going to kill, he's going to jump instead, right? Then he changes back to Banner, he knocks her out, he changes to Banner, makes the jump, falls down, doesn't die.
Yeah.
You know, but he just tries to offer himself anyway. Natasha wakes up, looks down, sees him there. Then she jumps anyway because she knows he's going to get up as Hulk.
Yeah.
So my guy basically wakes up from, you know, looks and sees her coming and so late. But the point, anyway, back to...
You cried seven times. You now created another way, so you now cry. Because if this happened now, you'd have cried. You'd have cried to cry. To cry for one moment.
He was substitute one of the cry for this cry now.
First of all, laugh all you want. Let me point out something to you. When that scene happened, right, because I'm a big believer. I remember when my sister passed, she's the only female friend I had. I now had a few other friends, other girls who were friends with me, and then I had to find the balance between, you know, I'm not interested in you romantically, but I am interested in you. I respect you, and I like something about you that makes me feel like you're a friend of mine. We can interact and work together and do stuff. And then a friend of mine who's in the Marines told me, he said, that scene for him, there's something about the person you've gone through war with, you fought with, that you guys have things in common, that you guys understand, that you've given your lives for each other. So when you see that sequence where they're both taking off and they're flying to Vormir, they're like, wow, look at us. This is not like Budapest, man. No, it's not. You know, these are regular guys doing amazing things. And they're tripped by it. And this is their connection, you know? And don't forget, this is the same girl who beat him up to get him out of Loki's control. This is the same girl who was undercover in Russia and beat up four guys and broke her cover to come and find him because he heard he was compromised. So they are tight. They have a relationship. And I turned to somebody one time and I said, for me, that whole sequence is a triumph of platonic friendship. It's a triumph of platonic love. That's the first time I've seen it in the film that I can look at it and say, that's actual platonic love that's deep, but not sexual. It's something that's there. I care for you and I want you to live. I want the best for you. And when I saw that, for me, it was like, wow, this was amazing because they did it. And also they were able to pay it off with their fight skills because that doesn't always happen. Sometimes they make it very corny, you know, like, you know, all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe that Superman lets his dad die. That's crap. But in this sequence, I see it happen that each one is fighting and giving their best not to be the one to survive. And it made sense to me. The point where she gets the better of Hawkeye, because she always gets the better of Hawkeye, and showed him that I mean it, you live, and we're going to do this thing, you're going to get your family back, you live, I have nothing, you live, and that got me. But I will say this, that the whole lead up to it and picking the people to go, that made no sense. I'm like, come on, like, why would it be two of them? You already know somebody dies on Vormir last time people went. You send the powerful people, you send a powerful person, at least you send the Hulk, you know, just saying.
Okay, yeah, but then here's the thing. If they send a powerful person, what guarantee is the person going to die?
At that point, we can leave it to one of two things. They don't know, you know, somebody dies. Because at that point, let's be honest, nobody standing there knows how, what the press is to get the stones.
Exactly. Nobody. So, to me, so, it doesn't matter who's standing there.
No, it does. Because they already know somebody died, that he went and came back. Thanos went and came back without Gamora.
But they don't know how or what it happened.
Exactly. They don't know if she fought. They don't know if it was a fight, something that happened. But either which way, it's an alien world. You don't not send one of your heavy hitters to that location. Or even if you don't send her, I would have said, fine, send the guy in the bleeding armor. Send Rhodey and her.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, that just...
From a story...
This star just wants to kill everybody, sir.
From a story point.
No, because I see what in story writing... You can craft a story around anything. I get that. I'm just saying that logically, it didn't make sense to pair them up.
If I was picking the teams, I would never pick two humans. I would always you pick power and you know you balance it out. I would never, but
yeah,
yeah, but so
send Nebula and her, send Rhodey and her, send Nebula
like,
and him.
Like I always say, okay. Like I always say, no matter who makes a movie, they are not perfect. There are sometimes where the third wall is it the fourth?
Yeah,
wall?
We agree.
Where
no,
the
we
fourth
know,
wall? Where
not,
the fourth
we
wall?
We know it's not perfect.
Without that, this is one of those moments where the
I'm
fourth wall.
I liked it. I liked it. I'm just saying it was illogical, and I would give anybody who complains about that. I say, yeah, I agree with that. But
yeah.
Still, it
yeah,
happened.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see that as a big deal. I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, what else could they have done? Somebody would still have to die. And here's the thing. If there was a moment where we already knew what was going to happen, you can imagine that kind of scene where if she went with Hulk, it would be obvious she was going to die. Because I knew Hulk's not going to die. If she went with Thor, it's like, she was going to die. If she went with
wait,
Cap.
No, it's interesting. They initially said that he was the one supposed to die in that scene, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's what now makes that pairing work. Because any other part person she went with, nah, Thor is not dying now. End game. They are going to fight. He's going to fight at the end. Cap is not dying. He's going to fight at the end. Hawk is not dying, he's going to fight at the end. So maybe Rhodey, yeah, I think, yeah, looking at it, because we who are watching the movie, we already
do you
know.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones gets people like you because you're so sure you know what's going to happen at the end. That's the reason that they got people like
oh,
you.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, you can ask that. My Game of Thrones, what is it? Everything that happened now, I called it already, so.
No, I'm saying like season one. Anything that subverts expectations will get people like you, because people like you already go in knowing you already know the tropes. You say, okay, this is the trope. It's gonna happen. Ah, it's gonna happen. We need this guy. We need the showdown.
No. Yeah. Well, based on we already know the source, so how this.
Right. So hello. Let me give my quick view on the time of heist. I mean, one of my favorite films is Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2. Hello? Are you guys still there?
We were here.
Okay. Can you hear me, yeah?
Yeah, we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Back to the Future 2 is my favourite of all the Back to the Future films. And to me, this was just like Back to the Future 2 superhero style. So I kind of liked it. I enjoyed all the highlights. Did somebody say something?
I think Mr. E is mentioning probably my stuff.
Okay. I love the visit to the Avengers 1. Yeah. I had almost no issues at all with that bit. I like the visit to Morag. I love the whole joke about he's an idiot. Peter Quill was dancing. And obviously, when you're dancing and there's no music, you look more stupid. I quite like how they did that. That was funny. The Voromir one, as I said, I got it and understood it, but I wasn't in the moment. I knew that I was out of the moment, and I was so hence my eye rolling and just wanted to get that over and done with. When I realized they were going to Dark World, I thought, oh God, no. But that's one of the few times I felt anything when Thor's mom, basically, especially with the part where... what's all that noise? Is that she?
She's walking around the whole place. Can't mute his mic.
when I loved a bit when she goes, listen, I was raised by witches. You can't fool me. I know you're not. I love all that. I love that bit. I felt a bit. I mean, just to go back to Nuru's seven cries, I think I had two feels, or maybe three. It was Thor and his mom. I had feels.
Yes,
there.
Yes, I agree with that. I can't believe I forgot that. Yeah.
I had,
that was closure for me.
Yeah. I had feels.
I felt that.
I had feels with Scott and his daughter when he met her. And then I think the last feel. And it wasn't even a feel, but it's when Tony made a statement to Cap, and that was actually just not in the time heist, but where he said, "I lost the kid." When he was talking about Spider-Man, "I lost the kid," I felt his pain when he said that. So in time heist, I love the topic and the whole That's an old thing that they could show. I want to know how Rocket got that thing from Jane. But, and this is my big but here, is the one I did not like was the 1970s one, and that's the one I thought was too long.
Yeah, it was way too long.
And I just I still want them to go there because I love the whole what's it named? What's Hank Pym? And the original Ant-Man helmet. Oh, that was great. Yeah. Even him meeting his dad, I liked it. But I think it was drawn out, and it could have been... I mean, I'm not a director, but I was getting a bit impatient with that scene. I must give that scene one thing, though. That's the only scene in the whole of MCU that's ever referenced the TV shows clearly. That's in all 22 films. That's the only time ever you get somebody from a TV series who's never been in films actually in the film. So,
yeah,
you know, that was good. You know, seeing Jarvis from Agent, what's it?
Agent Carter.
Yeah. So I enjoyed the time heist. I loved Agent One. I don't know why. When Hawk went to that building, it's almost like the film, and this is where I say I'm in this case I'm in the moment, because I was expecting to see Doctor Strange. I didn't even think. So when I saw Agent One, I went, "Oh yeah!" I was pleasantly surprised. So I was in the moment, and I think Tilda Swinton. I mean, race, all the issue about race aside, she's brilliant. You can't just knock
just perfect her. Again,
yeah, you just can't knock
her. Yeah, she is.
So, yeah, I remember Jay said something about how she hit Hulk and just shows how more powerful Strange is. And I was like, when she did that, I wasn't surprised, because if you remember in Ragnarok, this was Thor and Loki we were talking about. The guy was using them to do Thor speed.
Open portal,
appear, disappear.
Yeah.
So to me, I was like, okay, now this is someone who is more advanced stage.
I love that scene.
Yeah,
I love how he did that. Yeah,
the early issue
she's in a higher level than he was then, so you can imagine what he will now do when he gets to our level. Because to me, I'm like, oh, you could have just hit two of them, kept them outside, and then telling their life story. So yeah, that initial one bit was, like I said, anybody that is not part of the old Avengers team, I like seeing them on screen. Doctor Strange, the Ancient One, Hank, everybody else, Michael Douglas, no matter what, never gets old. Seeing him just, something's coming out, yeah. He left his office and then he goes out. Yeah, the time skip was good. It was nice. Then Thor and his mom, I don't know how I forgot that. I don't know anybody and mothers in any film that stuff like that. I think those are the things that hit me more.
Yeah, it hit me. And you're right. You know, and maybe this is I'm going back to what Nuru said, because Nuru, you gave a personal accounting of like friendship and platonic love, which maybe is something. I mean, I'll say this without any embarrassment. Maybe something I don't have. For me, what hits me is kids and parents. That gets me hardcore. But then for what you said, then I can say, okay, maybe that's why that scene meant a lot more to you. Because when I look back now, every scene that I thought touched me like father and son, daughter and father, even the Tony Stark and Spider-Man, it's almost like a father and son relationship. So
no budget.
You know what? We've talked about time heist, and nobody's attacked Fat Thor yet. You guys?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was great, and I loved it for different reasons. I know you said, "Oh, they just had to find a way to sideline Thor." I'm like, I actually thought it was good storytelling. And let's be honest, in the comics, we've seen, and that's the thing I told somebody. I said, "Listen, you can't have perfect superheroes. You've got to have superheroes show in some way, shape, or form that they're struggling with stuff. Like Iron Man has a demon in the bottle. Yeah. storyline. In this one, it managed to translate to the movies that this depressed dude who has nothing else to live for is trying to remain in denial by drowning himself.
Don't get me wrong, Jay.
I loved it.
I'm happy with it.
That's why I said, know you are. That's why I didn't criticize it. I didn't criticize it.
I loved it. To critique there because I didn't see that coming. So when I saw Fat Thor, I was like, oh my God, Skyrim is
straight up, man.
To stupor. Like, yes, he thought. And then he lost confidence. He lost everything. It was just, and that was what I seen with the mother paid off. Because for two reasons. One, he was down emotionally. And then two, he didn't get that closure in Ragnarok.
No, at all.
Wasn't there.
Yeah, agreed.
Wasn't there. So when they did that, I was like, he's going to talk to his mother. And you could look at it that, if they were going to ask you, say Thor meeting Jane should have been the payoff for that particular scene. But they just removed her out of the picture and like, Rockets can't collect what he wants to collect. And they made it about his mom. And at the end of the day, when you look at it, where did he draw his strength from for the last battle? It was from there. That was where that was where Thor came back. Then him getting the hammer at the end, I'm like, okay,
I'm still worthy. That part was awesome. Was funny. Yeah, yeah.
He was worried.
Hemsworth's comedy chops are really not, underrated. But the guy is good. He has a nice balance of comedy and emotion.
Yeah, I remember watching a Graham Norton show where they were interviewing the Ghostbuster women and they were just hating on the guy. Like, it's funny. He has muscles, he's handsome, and he can sing. I'm like, I just want to kill him. I can't be perfect.
I saw that.
A lot of actors delivered acting-wise in Endgame,
And that
they're all in Thanos shadow, but they all acted well.
Another thing about this film is, and this goes back to this Ant-Man joke with the kids when he met Professor Hulk, and the same with Thor and Korg and the Fortnite playing. These jokes were more aimed at my kids.
What? And they landed.
Oh yeah, they landed. My kids loved. They loved the whole. The one that we thought was going on too long with the kids and signed the autograph with Scott Lang. When the diner. My kids loved that. And they also loved the whole Fortnite new Master 69. They loved it. I felt that too. Yeah.
I actually felt that too. Yeah. If you play games, you would get that. Yeah. If you don't play games, you won't get what that was about.
Right, yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Like I said, some of it was not for me, but I'm glad to know the audience. I'm glad to know who it was for.
Oh, yeah. Because my kids were...
Landed well.
It landed big time with them. And when it came out, those were some of the things they were, like, recounting. Among us, I was just listening. And, okay. Yeah. It's cool. Right. One thing before... So that's time... Well, I think that's the time heist done. They all came back from the time heist. Now, does the time heist include Nebula bringing him back? Or no, that's Showdown, isn't it? That moves into the Showdown. Okay. So now we're into the Showdown, the end game.